God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, good morning, St. Luke's. Just a special greeting to any of our first-time friends today, our regular guests, family from out of town to support the Blue Robes. I'm Pastor Dan, and it's awesome to be here with you in worship today. It's a special day for this congregation, but it's a special day for the church at large. God's people all around the world today are celebrating the festival of Pentecost. It's a festival that began back in the Old Testament and has continued through the New, and that first Pentecost after Jesus was crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven, he sent down the Spirit of God. That Spirit appeared as tongues on people's heads, and people from all around the world, thousands of people, were able to hear the Word of God in language that they could understand. And that day, thousands were baptized and brought into the faith. And so today, as a congregation, we are celebrating Pentecost, but we're celebrating Pentecost in conjunction with confirmation. And I suspect that some of you maybe aren't familiar with what confirmation is, or you're not quite sure. I suspect some of you are all too familiar with what confirmation is. Maybe you have some vivid memories still of perhaps rigorous memorization. Maybe some of you had that old school practice of public examination. Did you guys know that was an option? Some of the people behind you had to stand in front of the church and answer questions from the pastor, like with a microphone, and the congregation could go, When I was a pastoral intern in Oklahoma City, my vicarage church, they did the public examination thing. And so we were there in evening service, and there was some 14-year-old girl up there with a microphone, and the tornado sirens went off. And I was like out the door. And she was still up the microphone. We should fear and love God so that we like didn't miss a beat, just like kept on going. It was amazing. They're brave folks down there, those Okies. Some of you maybe had the mean pastor. You heard about your friend across town that had the easy pastor, but that wasn't your lot in life. You had the mean pastor who made you memorize every single word of the catechism, and you're better for it. And some of you maybe even had like the super old school German Lutheran pastor, who would like with his thick German accent and like make you speak auf Deutsch. Was ist das? That's the question throughout the catechism. Was ist das? What does this mean? Was ist das? What is this? What does this mean? And this morning, I'd like to ask that question. Was ist das? What does this mean? I'd like to ask that question of confirmation itself. What is confirmation? What does it mean? What is it? And maybe we could go with the obvious answer. What is confirmation? The obvious answer is, well, confirmation, it's like graduation, right? Maybe confirmation is graduation. And how does graduation work? Well, typically, if you want to graduate from an institution, you put in a bunch of work. You jump through whatever hoops they make you jump through. You meet all the course requirements. And if you put in the work, then you get to wear a robe you're never going to wear again. You smile for a cheesy picture. You eat cake. And then you disappear. Right? That's how graduation works. You put in a bunch of work. You wear a robe that you're never going to wear again. You smile for a cheesy picture. You eat cake. And then you disappear. Maybe for very special occasions, it might justify going back just kind of for nostalgia to show up. But I haven't set foot in my high school since I graduated. I haven't even been on the property since I graduated. Is that what confirmation is? Just a graduation? Well, I think the statistics would seem to say so. I mean, nationally, 50% of the kids who are confirmed within 4 years aren't in church. 50% of the kids who are confirmed within 4 years aren't in church. I've been at churches where it's less than 2 years. Less than 2 years later, they're just gone. I don't know what it looks like here at St. Luke's, but if we have 15 to 20 kids in a confirmation class, you'd think after about 4 years, then there's probably about 80 kids in youth group each week. Is confirmation just graduation? Now, it does take work, as you guys know. It takes a lot of work. It does take a lot of preparation, but it does not end with a slice of cake and a disappearing act. This process, the old fancy word is catechesis, looking at the catechism. It's just a word that means talking about and discussing and questioning and wrestling aloud. The process of discussing and growing in the faith, it doesn't end today. It's a lifelong journey. I got my catechism. I found it in a box. Not because it lives in a box, but I haven't unpacked any of my boxes yet. You can go back there. I've overwhelmed Tammy's office, and it's just this igloo of books back there. Actually, my catechism is one of the books that lives on top of my desk right next to my Bible. And this is my catechism when I was in confirmation. In the front, it says Danny Weber in my mom's flowery, girly handwriting. Hi, my name's Danny Weber. It's like I'm 4 years old when I say that. So right next to it in my very boyish block handwriting, it says, Dan Weber, because I'm a man. When I was going to confirmation, you know, I would memorize whatever they made me memorize. And I had a system. It was When we left home and got in the minivan on like Wednesday nights, I could memorize it before we got to church. We should fear and love. We should fear and love God. We should fear and love God so that we should fear and love God so that we do not. And by the time I got there, I could spit out in the test and forget all about it. And I didn't care about any of the stuff in here. And then about a year and a half later, and I was talking to my wife. She had the same experience. About a year and a half later, I found this little book, and I was amazed. There's amazing stuff in here. Yours might be purple and maroon, but mine is blue. I found my catechism a couple years after confirmation, and I was blown away at what was in there. That I, for whatever reason, maybe when you make me do something, I'm just stubborn and I didn't want to do it and I didn't care at all. But I can tell you in all sincerity, every single year since confirmation, I've spent more time in this book than I did then. The journey of faith that we are on, it doesn't end at confirmation. It doesn't stop once you spewed out the information and you passed your quiz. I actually got a whole lot more out of it in the years and seasons that followed that. So confirmation is it's not the beginning or the end of discipleship. It's not a graduation. And so what is it? What is confirmation? It's not a graduation. I know what it was for me when I was confirmed, and I suspect that it was similar for many of us here. For me, when I was confirmed, like in a lot of churches, confirmation was primarily a requirement for communion. That was my experience. For me, confirmation was nothing more. I went because there were girls, and then because that's what you had to do before you could take communion. It was like a 2-year test that if I got good enough grades, if I could trick the pastor into thinking I knew this stuff, then I would earn the right to receive the Lord's Supper. Is that what confirmation is? Just a requirement for communion? And I think there's some truth in that answer because, well, St. Paul makes it clear that we ought to be prepared and examined before we commune. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If anyone eats of the bread and drinks of the cup without discerning the body, they eat and drink judgment on themselves. I don't know all that that means and exactly what that looks like, but Paul's making it pretty clear that before we commune, we ought to be prepared and we ought to have some sense of examination. We ought to know what it is and what God intends through communion. Because it turns out it's a beautiful thing. Communion is this participation in the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under, as we say, the bread and the wine. It's an intimate fellowship with God and with his people. To commune is to be in community. To commune is to be in community with God, and to commune is to be in community with our fellow dinner guests at the table. And so when we commune, we ought to know what God intends for this meal to be. We ought to know what God expects of us in this meal. And we ought to be able to share the confession of faith with those with whom we are communing. And so communion definitely takes some preparation. It takes some examination. And yet, be real clear, communion, the Lord's Supper, it's not a carrot. Communion is not a carrot that we dangle on a string in order to coax a bunch of kids to briefly memorize something from the catechism. That's not what communion is. Communion is not a reward for doing your homework. Communion is not a payment for a job well done. Communion is a gift of the Lord. Communion is not a reward. It's a gift from God. It's God's gift of himself for you, freely won by Christ. And so communion does take preparation, but it's not a reward. It's a gift. And so I'm thankful that here at St. Luke's, we've made a distinction between First Communion and confirmation. It's okay if you do them at the same time, that's great, but I think it can be helpful to see that communion is not a reward for completing your coursework. And my first sermon here, service here as pastor, was Maundy Thursday, when Jordan and a bunch of other her friends got to receive First Communion. And I appreciate that we can make that a distinct thing from confirmation, to recognize that as a gift of God that it is. So it leaves us with the question, though, what is confirmation? It's not just a graduation. It's not just a prerequisite or a requirement to receive communion. Confirmation is a public affirmation of baptism. Confirmation is a public affirmation of baptism. We usually use just a little bit of water. But a long time ago, God, with a lot of water and a boat, he saved 8 people. And Peter tells us in the New Testament that baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. This is the word of God. It says baptism now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, not like washing your hands. Baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clean conscience through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Through baptism, the resurrection of Christ is credited to you. Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth his church. He sent out his disciples and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, right? Of all nations. How? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, make disciples, baptizing and teaching, and in confirmation, we get to celebrate that. All of us together as the body of Christ get to celebrate the fact that God is faithful to his church and the people of God have been faithful to what God has sent us out to do, baptizing and teaching. We have evidence and a beautiful living testimony of that today. Confirmation is a public affirmation of baptism. Titus chapter 3, some of you saw my little guy Titus earlier. He's got scars on his head running with a balloon, bouncing into people. He's named after the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 3, it says that God, he saved us. Just to be clear, we don't save ourselves. It says, he, God, saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but because of his great mercy. And how does he do this? By the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. God saves you. Not because you're good boys and girls. Not because you try really hard. Not because you got a passing grade from Michael. But because of his mercy. In the washing and renewal, regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. In Colossians chapter 2, it says that baptism is the new circumcision. The waters of baptism that Christ instituted, baptism is the new circumcision. If you remember in the Old Testament, a Hebrew boy was circumcised on the eighth day. When that little baby boy was 8 days old, he was brought into the covenant community of the people of God, and Paul calls baptism the new circumcision. When that Hebrew boy was 8 days old, he couldn't speak. He couldn't say yes, please, or no, thank you. He couldn't nod his head in affirmation. He couldn't walk or crawl or sit up. He could spit up. And he could fill up his diaper. But that's about it. And yet remarkably, in that most helpless state, God gives grace. In that most helpless state, God gives grace. When they were completely dependent, God provides abundantly. Before we could even speak to God, He speaks a word over us. Before we could come to God, He comes to us. Before we could ever say, Dada, He calls you His daughter. He calls you His son. And that Spirit of God, which works through the waters with God's word, that Spirit came rushing upon thousands of people in Acts chapter 2. They heard the gospel. They declared, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. He said, be baptized, every one of you. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord calls to Himself. Through those water, God calls to Himself. He forgives, He renews, He gives Jesus. Because while we were dead in our sins, God sent His Son, Christ Jesus, in the flesh. And on that cross, that bloody cross and in that tomb, it wasn't just an example. It wasn't Jesus saying, here's how you live a good life. And it wasn't just God saying, here's how much I love you. No, in that cross and tomb of Jesus, God won something. God actually accomplished something for you. He accomplished something for every man, woman, child on the world. And God says in His word that through baptism, what Jesus won for all is given to you. Romans chapter 6 says that all of us who have been baptized were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. About 3 hours ago this morning, something incredible happened. And you might not have noticed, but it was amazing. There was a little 9-month-old boy. He had this cool white outfit on with like a white bow tie. Real fancy. And his family is flying back on Tuesday to Saipan on the other side of the world by Guam, about a 28, 29-hour travel day. And the dad stays here and sends money. But that little boy in these waters received something incredible. As the waters were poured and as God's word was spoken, that 9-month-old boy was transported across time back to Jerusalem. He was there on the cross with Jesus. So that as Jesus died, this little boy's sinful self was put to death. And just 3.5 hours ago, this little boy was transported across time to the coolness of that early morning just outside the empty tomb as Jesus took in his first breath of new life. And the Spirit of God, which gave Jesus life, began to inhabit this child of God. And the resurrection is his promise and guarantee that happened. Confirmation is a public affirmation of baptism. Confirmation gives our young people an opportunity to say to the congregation. It gives you an opportunity to say to your parents and to your peers. It gives you a chance to say to yourself and to the world, I am baptized. I am baptized. Not just I was baptized. I am baptized. I am a baptized child of God. I might not remember it. I don't remember it. I might not be able to explain it really well. I don't always explain it really well. But the faith that God worked in my baptism, the faith that has been nurtured through the years as his word has been poured into my life, that faith is my faith. It's not my parents' faith. It's not my grandparents' faith. It's not what my church believes. This is what I believe. Confirmation is a public affirmation of baptism. That the Spirit of God who called you to faith, who has created you as his perfect daughter and son, has been and continues to be and is at work in your life today. When each of you were baptized, and any time we have a baptism here, promises are made. First and foremost, God himself makes a promise to love you and to give you his son and to fill you with his spirit. And that promise is a gift of God that we can cling to in faith. But other promises are made as well. Your parents and grandparents and sponsors, the congregation made promises as well. That we would pray for you. That we would support you and encourage you. That we would teach the faith to you and share God's word with you. And today, we celebrate that milestone in the faith. It's not just a big day for the kids in the front row in the fancy blue robes, which you guys wear well. This is a milestone for all the people of God. It is a testimony that God is faithful and works through his church. It's a testimony that the people of God have been faithful to the commission of Christ, that we are baptizing, that we are teaching. And today you can stand and say, I am baptized. I do believe. It's not a graduation. We know how easy it is to fall from the faith. We see every Palm Sunday the crowds of people that meet Jesus with palm branches and their coats on the road and public declarations of Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we see those same people, not 4 years, not 2 years, but less than a week later shouting, crucify him. I know how easy it can be to go from, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession of faith and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? I do by the grace of God. I know how quickly that becomes, I swear to you, I don't know the man. And I want to tell you today, as your pastor, I've only walked with you a very, very, very brief time. There's lots of people who've walked with you your whole life. We will continue to walk with you. Just as this is not a graduation for you, this is not an end of our support of you. People of God, they need our prayers just as much tomorrow and the next day as they have for the past 12, 13, 14, 15, 18 years. How old are you guys? It's not a graduation. It's not a hoop to jump through for communion. Today is a day for the church to celebrate God's faithfulness and what it means that we as the people of God continue to walk together, to pray for the little ones who were baptized, the old ones who are baptized, those who were baptized 13, 14 years ago, and to pray and encourage the person next to you and behind you who was baptized like 60 years ago. Turns out they need your support too. And I am thankful that we get to walk this journey of faith together. And so let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word which gives life. Thank you for the gift of baptism and for the testimony of these young people before us today. Would you encourage and support them, Lord, as you have been faithful to them up until this day. Be faithful today and be faithful tomorrow and for every tomorrow after that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.